Good evening and welcome to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, I'm the Executive Director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. Don't forget, you can always listen to us when you're on the move by downloading the Guardian Radio app at the Play Store or App Store, or you can go to the website if you're old school, www.guardiantalkradio.com, and click on the live stream button. So tonight in the studio, we have an artist who lived away for, is living away, but came back to do a Bahama residency. Her name is Lillian Blades. Good evening, Lillian.
Hi, Amanda.
Hi, welcome to the show.
Nice to be here.
Nice to see you. It's been a long, long time.
Yes.
So Lillian and I first met each other in 2006 when I curated a show in Germany called Funky Nassau. And Lillian came out to Germany to do that show. And that was, 13 years ago.
Wow, that long?
Yeah, I know, because of my baby had just been born and now she's a big girl. And that was our first getting to know each other. But you were practicing for a long time before that. And when I came across your work, you were already working in this kind of sort of abstract way. But when I saw early work, when I moved home, you began as a figurative artist. Can you tell a little bit, without giving away too much of our ages, about your journey? How did you first find yourself as an artist? As a female as well, Bahamian artist, there's been a lot of discussion recently about the inclusion of women and how they were sort of less prominent for a certain amount of time.
I remember that.
Yeah. So can you talk a little about how you found your path to becoming an artist?
I have to go way back, I guess.
Everyone knows how old I am. It's okay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I became an artist because I just wanted to stay busy. You know, I was the only one in the house. My aunt who raised me, you know, it was just she and I and her husband, you know, I didn't have a lot to do, didn't have anybody to really play with, so I entertained myself with art.
Wow.
And when I was 12, I decided I wanted to be an artist because I always liked the attention that I got and the praise that I got from sharing my work with people when they came to the house.
Well, that's nice that you got the encouragement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and in school I was always the one to get the art award, and so it was the thing that I enjoyed most doing, and I always I felt like I was good at it, and my teachers felt the same way. So. And I've saw artists like Brant Malone and Max Taylor, Antonius, and the Because Group. You know, they were doing art, you know, full time, and I was like, "Well, if they could do it, I could do it."
So that was an inspiration.
Yeah. And it was mainly really very male dominated, and I think there was Monique Rolle, who was an artist that was doing a lot then, and I was like, "Well, you know, I could do this."
So. Was there any sense of were you aware of the fact there were so few women doing it? Did you feel like not having a kind of female mentor had an impact at all, or was it something you didn't really think about till you got older and sort of looked around and you were like, "Hey,
I didn't think too much of it." I was going to be an architect, and I remember going to Jackson Burnside, and since he was an architect and a painter, I wanted to ask him how he was able to balance both of those things. Mm-hmm. And after, you know, spending some time with him in his architectural firm, he said, if you enjoy doing art, just continue doing it. And because my mom was concerned about me being able to make money as an artist. And so I said, when I went to the College of the Bahamas, I decided I would be an art major. Most of my classmates were art education majors, and I knew I wanted. I said somebody had to be an artist, you know. So
yeah, very brave.
Yeah.
And how did your family feel about that? Because that is the common kind of storyline that my parents were worried. My parents thought. Even for me, like as an art historian, which is another kind of track, you know, your parents are always like, "Well, how are you going to actually get a job out of this?" And obviously there is, like, now especially this whole industry. How did your parents then, before the industry was kind of nascent here, or it was nascent, how did they feel about you choosing art at COB?
Well, I knew I didn't have the funds from, my mom didn't have it to give me. So my English teacher, Christine Campbell, when I was at St. Augustine's, She helped me start a t-shirt design company. Mm-hmm. And I would go to the banks and sell my t-shirts that I designed from Sun Tea.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my first business. And
wow. At how old? At
probably 10th grade, 10th, 11th, 12th grade. And I was going to study textile design. And that's what I did when I first started at SCAD. But I'm going ahead.
Mm-hmm.
So She worked it out where her brother, who was the president of British American, you know, where we wrote a letter asking him if he would help sponsor me to go to the College of the Bahamas in exchange for artwork.
Wow.
So when I was at the College of the Bahamas, I worked on paintings for British American. My first exhibition was at British American Insurance Company.
Wow.
So that was the first big break that helped me to get into the College of the Bahamas. And when I was there, we had a college fair, and SCAD representative mm-hmm. came, and they came to my studio and thought that I should apply. I didn't even think of applying because I knew that it was really expensive.
Yeah. And it's funny, a lot of Bahamians go there. So LeVar Monroe, who we just mm-hmm. had a show with, went there. A lot of, I can't think who else, but I know that SCAD and RISD seem to be, which is Savannah College of Arts and Design.
Yeah, I really wanted to go to RISD since, you know, most of everybody
Yeah, John
was
Beadle
going
went
there,
and John Cox went there, and Nadine Seymour mm-hmm. Monroe went there. Yeah.
Yeah, but SCAD was really good, and they gave me a $10,000 scholarship. And
wow.
When I found out in that January, just before I went in the fall, and I had to figure out how I was going to come up with about $40,000.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
Antonius was my professor at the College of the Bahamas, and he said, you can do this, you know, just work on your paintings, and we're going to have an auction.
Mm-hmm.
So he set it up with Brant Malone at mm-hmm. Marlborough Antiques to
wow.
Have an auction, and it was outside on the upstairs veranda area, and I had my friends model my paintings like Vanna White, you know.
Yeah.
So, and the first auction, I made $21,000.
Wow. And back then, too, which is like, because, I mean, now that's
I had about, you know, 40 paintings.
Yeah, that's amazing. Well done.
Yeah, and Ernst & Young with Phil Galanis, he set it up so that they were all the accountants, so they took all of the mm-hmm. Credit card payments. And when I was at SCAD, they paid my fees. They gave me a stipend out of it, so I didn't have all of it at one time.
Yeah,
so,
amazing.
Yeah.
Well, that's actually a really smart thing to do. So, yeah, mm-hmm. that someone like kind of controlled the money for you and made sure it was like used for what it – yeah, because – you know, sometimes it's like when you suddenly come to a windfall, you're like, oh my gosh, I can take care of everything now. And you sort of spend it all at once.
Oh,
and
no,
then suddenly,
I didn't want that. Yeah. I wanted it to be monitored, you know.
Yeah.
And then I also got the Lifewood Key Scholarship and the Chris Blackwell Scholarship. So that was an additional $3,000 from Lifewood Key and $3,000 a year from Chris Blackwell Foundation.
That's amazing. So you went to SCAD, which is, again, Savannah College of Art and Design, and you said you studied fabric, textile design,
textile fibers, and mm-hmm. and after the first year, the good thing was painting and textile shared the same hall, the same building mm-hmm. in Henry Hall, and I would be there working on my work, and I would see the painting students, you know, working, and I was like, you know, I really want to just do individual, like, one-of-a-kind pieces, not, mm-hmm. like, mass-produced where you have to go to a fair and you mm-hmm. have swatches that you sell.
Yeah.
I want, and then you don't, it's very limiting, the mm-hmm. amount of colors you can put in, mm-hmm. and you have to cater to an industry, so... Mm-hmm. That I didn't like the limitations of that. I was thinking I would do something similar to like Androsia or Bahama Handprints. That mm-hmm. was Phil Galanis that helped me set up a business plan when I mm-hmm. had first went off. And then I decided I want to switch to painting. Because
mm-hmm. Followed your heart.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. Yeah. I mean, that's great. It's already at a young age, you've done that two or three times. So you decided you wanted to be an artist.
Yeah.
You decided mm-hmm. you would not do teaching at College of the Bahamas like everyone else and commit to painting, and then again in college.
I kind of proven something. I could do this, you mm-hmm. know. So like I was told I needed to get a job. No, I don't want to do that. Like I had a job like doing my own thing. I was like, mm-hmm. if I could do that and apply myself to something, and if I'm enjoying doing it, I should be able to do it. I don't want to do something I don't want to do. Like, yeah, which I wouldn't be happy.
Which is probably the best advice you can give any young person, right? Yeah. Which is find something that makes you happy and find a way to make that your work.
Mm-hmm. Because, I believe that even more so now.
Yeah, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, again, at our age, you have to get up every day and keep doing, you know, you better be passionate about what you do. Otherwise, you're going to be a miserable person, right?
Yeah.
Did you find people were encouraging up until that point? Like, I mean, it sounds like everybody was, but it's very much the art community. So you're talking about Brent and Antonius and these people who are kind of known for being yeah. great mentors. But what about like your friends and your family? Were they all just saying, Lillian, man, you crazy girl?
Like, no, you know what?
Or were they rather like, wow, look at her?
Supportive, yeah. Because I feel like I've pushed myself and I like, when I was at SCED, every year for the last 4 years, the whole time I was there, and even after, I had auctions every year, so mm-hmm. it became kind of known mm-hmm. that, you know, this is last Saturday in August I would have an auction. Mm-hmm. And when I went to Italy and France, I knew I didn't have that amount of time to do it in that, so I did it in Savannah, and I got the Lucas Theater in Savannah to do what I did here.
Wow.
And did the same thing. So
yeah, which is actually smart though, because you got a new audience.
Yeah,
because if you do the auction in the same place every year,
yeah,
you know, you might sort of run out of people that want to buy more work, right?
So yeah, it's actually kind of smart. So that was in 95.
Yeah.
So
you basically self-funded college by having auctions of your work.
I built up my portfolio of work, so.
Amazing. And were you having exhibitions then as well? Or was that sort of the annual exhibition that you had? Was your sort of...
Well, that was the main thing, but I did take part in a lot of group exhibitions mm-hmm. as well.
Mm-hmm. And how was that? I mean, as a young artist, how important do you think going to college for it is in going to get your BA? I mean, what did you learn there?
I mean, being here in the Bahamas, I think it's vital because it gets you out mm-hmm. of our 21 mile around island, you know, because the exposure is kind of limited here. So, mm-hmm. I mean, with the internet, we could travel and get exposure, but it's a different
still
thing.
Not the same, really, is it, than seeing real, real
and interacting
stuff.
Yeah. with other artists. And mm-hmm. I was able to go to art residencies like at Skowhegan in mm-hmm. Maine, and mm-hmm. that was a big big thing for me. To when I was there, I just learned so much about artists. That this is a calling that's been around from like 1950s.
Yeah, Skowhegan is actually one of the premier art residencies. I mean, if you land a place in Skowhegan, Lillian's too shy to say this, but I'm just saying like that is a very desired spot, and most artists that end up there go on to do great things.
Yeah,
it's like an early indicator. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
yeah.
I was pretty honored to be accepted to go there. That was in '99,
mm-hmm.
and I was at graduate school at Georgia State then, mm-hmm. and it really challenged me in what I've been was doing as an artist,
mm-hmm.
And I had to take a break and reassess everything, mm-hmm. you know. So
yeah, well, I think that happens to a lot of artists, right? They go out into the big world and they're like, oh wow, oh wow, you know, and it somehow gives you a bit of pause because you see all the stuff out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're going to go to a quick break. We're in the studio tonight speaking to Lillian Blades, who's an artist who has come up, you know, since the 90s, as she said, when she was in college, is Bahamian, but has been living away for quite some time, has done a lot of exhibitions. We first met in 2006 when I did a show in Germany. But is really has a great career making her work and doing a lot of community work, and is, I think, a great example of someone who's just been able to kind of commit themselves to their practice and have fun doing it, have a good life doing it. So we're going to hear more from Lillian after this short break. You're listening to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson. I'm the executive director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. We're going to be right back with you after this break.